Good morning, everybody. You don't have to stand up or anything. I'll just say a quick prayer. Am I too close? Okay. Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your service. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your will. I thank you for your way. That's all I really care about. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have, and this is going to be, we'll be talking together for a little bit. It'll be kind of interactive. Are there any, who's a big movie buff? Who loves movies? I figured a lot of people love movies. Do you have a favorite, who is a favorite movie that you can mention in church? Beaches. What's that?
Beaches.
Mm-hmm. You need another one? I mean, you
Annie.
Can. Annie? Okay.
Seven Brides to Seven Brothers.
What was that one?
God is not dead.
Oh, good one.
Mrs.
All right. Yes, come on.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right. Let me get a couple more. In the back, my sister. Okay.
War room?
Ooh. Okay, now let me ask you something. Why do you, and this is going to have to be one at a time. Why do you like that movie? Which you named a few, but give me one and tell me why you like it. Like, what is it that attracts you to that movie?
Uh-huh. Because Clint Eastwood is one of the baddest Western cowboys.
Is he the main character in that movie?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does he make it until the end?
Yes.
Okay. you said, what was yours? You said God is not dead?
Yeah.
What attracts you to that movie? Why do you like it so much?
Mm-hmm. How strong this young man was to go out and do research to prove that what he was saying, that God was not dead. Mm-hmm. And at the finality was that he made the teacher admit to why he was saying or teaching that God was not dead.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Hey, Janice, tell me about Love Jones. Who's the main character? Who's your favorite character in Love Jones? Uh-huh. Okay. Do you like the characters? Do they? Okay. Do you have a favorite? Why do you like Nia Long's character? What is it about her story that you like?
I think because when I was younger, she was a very popular actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I admired her. Mm-hmm. So I think I was following
her. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I listened to, in some of the movies that y'all listed, I have seen. We are attracted to movies that have a strong main character. And we are attracted to movies where the main characters go through things and they face adversity and they come out on the other side. Has anybody ever seen a movie where you start to connect with a certain main character and that character is going through adversity and challenges, and then you're rooting for that character and that character dies? That's one of the most, I remember reading a little, I didn't read it, but they made us read it in school. We read a little Greek mythology, and it was cool because there were stories about, you know, heroes and gods with a little g, not big G. And one of the stories was like Icarus, and Icarus had wings and he was cool. And I was probably, I don't know, 12, 13. I wasn't used to any Greek mythology, but we were learning and I thought it was interesting. So Icarus, long story short, flies up into the sky with his wings because, you know, he's so cool. And then the sun melts his wings and he falls to his death. As a child, that was pretty gut-wrenching. I was no longer interested in the story and not too keen on Greek mythology. When you think about characters that you've grown to love in movies, like remember the headlines when Superman died? Like that was a part of everybody's life. Remember when they shot JR? Can you go back that far? It's like, oh, like what are we gonna do? Like if there's no Superman, if there's no JR, like how are these main characters dying? I don't wanna see any movies like that. I wanna see the triumph. I wanna see them make it to the other side. Well, there's a reason why we love these movies and why we get attached to these characters, that they go through adversity and then they have a change of heart. There's a reason why this, you know, we've essentially named the same movie all of these times because the plots really don't change, whether it's Clint Eastwood, whether it's Lorenz Tate, whether it's Nia Long. It's a main character that goes through adversity, goes through hardships, you know, the same boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl again, and they live happily ever after. We have paid to see pretty much the exact same movies over and over and over again. They just change the characters and change the city that it was filmed in. But there's a reason for that. If it didn't work, and apparently it works, because you love these movies and these characters, but writers have figured out what we like. And if it isn't broke, don't fix it. We like a good writer. If you look at writers and they offer like master classes, how do you develop a character? How do you create a character that people are going to love? They have writers at Netflix and Hulu writing shows with characters just so you can fall in love with them, so you can identify with them. They do it with a very, very simple formula. It's tried and true. It works time and time again. They give you a character, then there's adversity, then there's challenges. That character has an aha moment. They maybe sink down a little bit. They get hurt. They get knocked down. They get back up. They come to themselves. They shake the dust off. They overcome adversity, and then they win. Game over. Those are the movies that we typically like. Have you ever paid for a movie and left in the middle? Is that common? Especially with movies being, what, $80 a ticket nowadays? There's a scripture, and I may go to it now, I may go to it later. But it talks about the ultimate author. And that would be Jesus. It says that he is the author and finisher of our faith. It's so interesting how we love to see people on screen go through adversity and come out on top. But, you know, my brother and sister talked about some things today that you do, maybe not you, but some of us get to a time where we're ready to get up and walk out in the middle of the movie. It's easy to do that if you don't realize or if it hasn't hit you that the person that's writing your story with you is God. The author and finisher of your faith is God. The title of today's message is Two Thumbs Up. If you remember Siskel and Ebert, they no longer, I don't think, do that, but they used to rate movies and they'd either give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But if they gave it two thumbs up, you knew it was a good movie. And we see these Bibles, when we see these characters in the Bible, whether it's a Joseph, you know, we have favorite stories. Joseph is one. David and Goliath. What do they teach you when you're a child? David and Goliath. Joseph. You know, of course, about Jesus. And all Hollywood has done is emulate these same stories. It's even a reason. See, we didn't invent the character arc. God did. God uses, he takes you and puts you in different circumstances and different situations and he faces you with different challenges. So not just so you can stay the same. We don't like characters who stay the same. Who watches a movie with the main character, doesn't change, she's still a jerk, he's a jerk, he stays a jerk through the whole movie and it's over, the end. We want to see change, we want to see growth, we want to see development, we want to see strength developed in a character. But Hollywood didn't make that up. God made that up. Let's go to, Jeremiah 29 and 11. You know, I've thought about it, and I, you know, I didn't go far with it, but I remember talking to my dad, and I'll be quite candid about it. You know, we were talking one day, this was years ago, and he said that, Eric, you know, I wasn't at the point of wanting to take my life, but he said, I kept thinking about what it would be like if I wasn't here. And he said that the thoughts kept coming over and over and over again. And he said, I don't know why. He said, I don't know how I was able to shake it, but I did. Like, I came out of it. And I wasn't that old. So to hear that at that age, that kind of rattled my cage a little bit. But once I got a little older, and officially out into the world, I too have had thoughts about what would it be like. Of course, my kids love me, and I think about my kids. I think about my parents. But, you know, there are times where it doesn't really matter how many people love you and how much family you have around you. When you get to that point and those voices talk to you, it's like you don't even really think about it. It doesn't weigh as heavily as it should, because it's just like, I don't really see a way out. Like, where is this future? Like, where is my help coming from? What am I going to do? If I don't physically see a way out of it, it's easy to be tempted and get up and walk out of the middle of the movie. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end." God is asking you to co-author your movie. God loves a compelling story. That's why the stories that are told were handpicked under the influence of the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of other things that happen. But God, being who he is and being the ultimate author, picked the most compelling stories. Why? Because he wants to show you that the underdog can win. He wants to show you that The things that God chooses to confine the wise, God is a fan of the underdog. And you love these movies because deep down, you are the underdog. You identify with these characters because we are the underdog. We are the recipients of things that we did not deserve. Make no mistake about it. Only Jesus said he was equal with God. He was made a little lower than the angels. So where did that leave us? Where did that leave when we were fallen from the garden and basically kicked out of the garden? Where did that leave us but in a place of being the underdog? We no longer had the dominion that we were created to have originally. But fortunately, the author loves a compelling tale. The author loves a compelling story. God loves it. Look at the scriptures. It says, And he makes specific mention and detail the stone that the builders rejected is, guess what? Like, God is like, yeah, I'm going to tell you more about the stone that the builders rejected, and go on to say now he is not just on the side or on the left of the corner. He is the head of the corner. He is now the chief cornerstone. Because God loves a compelling story. Why? Just to tell stories? No, just for his glory, but more for you. Because you need to know that God loves the underdog. The underdog does win. God specifically uses, no, don't get me the biggest. Don't get me the strongest. Bring me David. Bring me the shepherd. Don't bring me the fighter. Don't bring me the warrior. Bring me the one that tends the sheep. Why? Because if I am God and I need a compelling story, I want to make myself... I'm not into sharing my glory, and I don't want to bring myself as much glory as possible, but at the same time, I want to show everybody what I can do. I remember how Peter, when he betrayed Christ 3 times, you know, essentially, you know, and Peter was like, oh, you know, he wept bitterly. And Jesus, I know the scripture says, he's like, you know, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Like, keep going. I'm not going to dwell on your tears and the snot running down your nose. I don't care. Let's go. I don't need your apologies. Let's go. Essentially, what Jesus told him was, look, man, the movie ain't over. I get it. Up to this point, you know, you've had some ups, you've had some downs, but man, the movie ain't over. And I kept hearing it today, don't quit. Don't quit. That's how I knew, okay, well, maybe this word is the right word. But God is saying, don't get up and walk out in the middle of the movie, especially knowing who the director is, especially knowing who the writer is. He says, I want to give you, hey, I know you got hopes and dreams. I know you want things, but so do I. I want to give you a hope. I want to give you an expected end. That's why I need you to sit down so we can finish this movie together. That's why I need you to sit. Well, somebody said, be still. Yeah, that sit down so we can finish this movie. Let's go to Hebrews 12 and 1. We'll start at 1. There we go. Thank you. And listen to what God is saying in this. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But it says, look at that first part. See, we don't invent anything. We just imitate the things that God has already set forth, and we sometimes claim them as our brilliant ideas when they were written in the Word all along. This whole concept of storytelling and you know, creating characters and developing characters, God has been developing characters for years. Look at what God is really saying. He says, seeing we are so also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, God is like, look, the cameras are running. The cameras are running. Let us lay aside every way. He said, we have people watching. It isn't time. I need characters that I can develop. I need people who are going to run. I need people who are going to serve me, because look at all of these people looking at us. We set as a small village in the middle of a big world, and God needs us. They're looking. They're watching. And he said, well, since everybody is watching, we might as well give them something to see. Let's give them a story. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. We were always set here to be examples. We were always set here for the world to see. We are God's compelling story. We are God's The greatest story ever told is here. Jesus is the beginning of that story. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning of our story, so we can see it through Jesus, how we ought to live. But the good thing is he's also the end of it. So we can look at what happened with him and say, okay, well, that's where we're headed. That's the hope that God was talking about. That's the expected end. The disciples short-circuited when they thought that the movie was over. When Jesus was talking about, I've got to give my body away, I've got to be crucified, and they were like, whoa, 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 that's not how this is supposed to end. And they were right. Thank God it didn't end that way. Thank God he showed us the entire movie and didn't cut us off in the middle. And I don't know where you may be. I don't know what you might be thinking, and I just know where I am. I know that I can't tell you that I'm happy with everything that's going on in my life. I can't tell you that I'm where I want to be. I can't tell you that everything has gone according to the plans that I had. But I will tell you, like God told me, just sit down and let's live out the rest of the movie. Don't give up. Don't quit. Get your popcorn. We got some more chapters to write. And understand that I'm the author and I'm the finisher of your faith. I'm the greatest director ever known. I'm the greatest writer ever known. I'm the greatest producer ever known. You can't write the story better than I can. I just need you to help me write it. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I don't want to go further than what I should go. I thank you for your word.